newcomer, the companion saw a group of heavily armed men walking around the smashed plywood barrier and bleeding corpses. Striding at the front was a short, crew-cut man with a dour expression, brandishing a smoking double-barrel shotgun.
"What the bloody hell is going on here?"
The small man cracked the breech of his blaster to dump the spent shells onto the littered floor. They hit with a soft clatter and rolled away, still smoking slightly. Easing the safety off the Uzi just in case, JB noted the empty rounds as homemade reloads, and expertly done. Somebody in the Ville really knew blasters. The other men spread out across the room, taking strategic positions, their bolt-action rifles tight in their grips. Ryan listed them immediately as seasoned sec men.
"Them! They killed my crew!"
The wounded Mercy rose weakly to his feet, a hand clutching a bleeding shoulder.
"We were just eating our dinner, and those mutie-loving freaks opened fire on us!"
His pale face a mask of rage, Jack started grimly forward. Lily stayed him.
"That's a lie."
Ryan calmly holstered his blaster.
"That's what you say."
The Mercy glanced around. The leader of the sec men turned to the barmaid.
"How about it, Lily?"
"He's telling the truth, Monty. Those damn Mercies started the fight. I heard them talking about chilling the strangers to steal their blasters."
"Yeah?"
Monty slid fresh shells into his sawed-off and snapped the breech closed with a jerk of his hand.
"Yeah!"
The woman radiated a fury that was almost detectable over the heat from the fireplaces.
"The Outlander with the patch called them on it and they started shooting."
Monty looked at Ryan.
"A fair fight, then."
"No, it wasn't. He didn't have a blaster in his hand till they started shooting."
Sliding the sawed-off shotgun into a wide holster hung over his shoulder, Monty hooked his thumbs into his wide leather belt and studied the one-eyed man for a minute before speaking.
"You don't look insane, but I have been fooled before. What's your version of this, Colt?"
The barkeep placed his shotgun on the shelf behind the bar.
"It's as she said, Chief.
2-4, 1-against.
The sec chief gestured at the companions.
"Looks like you folks can go about your biz."
Ryan crossed his arms.
"Plan 2. And I want to talk with the survivor."
"After I'm done with him."
Monty advanced upon the skinny man bleeding by the fireplace. The Mercy was almost twice the height of the tiny sec man, but there was no question who was in charge.
"However, you are going in the hole."
Monty looked up at his prisoner.
"Lying to a sec man in this Ville is a crime. 10 lashes.
"You can't put me in chains. I'm bleeding. Shot."
"And another 10 for challenging my orders."
Monty jerked the big man toward the door.
"Harold, get this triple-stoop slackbrain out of here before I waste a round and chill him myself."
A red-haired sec man took the prisoner by the collar and marched the trembling man outside into the cold, dark night. Monty ran a calloused hand over his flat-top hair.
Mercies. Bloody pains in the arse.
"Excuse me, sir. Are you of British descent?"
Doc slid the Lama back into its greased holster. Lowering his head in the manner of a bull about to charge, Monty glowered at the oldster.
"What about it, Yank?"
"Why, nothing, sir. I was merely curious."
Remember what it did to the cat? "Zed, block the busted window with a table. Thomas, give me a report."
The wind blowing steadily around him, a bald sec man shoved an upright table in front of the hole, and the breeze dropped to fitful gusts around the edges. Kneeling on the bloody floorboards, a black sec man rose from examining a pile of corpses.
"They're all dead, that's for damn sure."
"I got eyes, man. How about the blasters?"
"Quite a selection here."
Thomas lifted a handful of sticky weapons.
"Autos, wheel guns, and a grenade."
"A what?"
Monty strode toward the man in his curious gait, reminding Ryan of a sailor on a ship at sea.
"A gren? Well, I'll be damned. And the pin hasn't been pulled. Wonder why?"
The small chief stared directly at Ryan.
"They hid behind a table and you flashed them out with a dud. Pretty clever. Any chance you folks planning on staying in town for a while? I could use some more sec men. Winter is coming, and that means Cold Hearts will be hitting us for supplies soon."
"Just passing through."
Christie's hair flowed as though still being stirred by mountain winds. If Monty noticed anything, he made no comment.
"Yeah, expected as much. North or south?"
"We haven't decided yet."
"Right. Chief,
About my place...
Way ahead of you. The Ville gets the usual off, and I'm sure these fine folks who don't shoot first in a fight will be happy to give you the rest to pay for the damage to your home. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Wearily rubbing the back of his neck, Cord beamed a smile.
Thanks. That will help.
And don't wait so long calling for help. That's why I'm here.
Understood, sir.
Any chance you might consider using one of the blasters on that so-called cook of yours?
Tried it. Shooting only makes her mad, and cook worse.
Well, it was worth asking.
Monty cracked a smile.
The bar gets half of their property? Odd policy.
The sick man loudly cracked his knuckles.
That it is. But I find it holds down trouble when folks know their blasters and clothes get divided afterward.
Just then, a fat man pushed his way into the bar through the crowd of sec men. The newcomer was wearing an Aussie digger hat with a feathered plume, creased gray pants tucked loosely into polished boots, and a heavy trench coat with natty embroidery on the sleeves and collar. There was no sign of a blaster or any other weapon. After staring in horror at the bodies, the fancily dressed man headed straight toward Monty and nearly fell as his shiny boots slipped in a slick puddle of congealing blood.
"Hello, Stephen."
Cord said this as if a vomiting dog had walked into his establishment.
"How many dead? 6? 8?
Stephen yanked off his hat and clutched it in his smooth hands.
11, and one in the hole.
Stephen went pale.
"Black dust. That's a lot of them. What am I going to do now?"
"Not my problem."
Monty poured himself a shot of shine from a jug on a table. He took a sip and sighed all the way down to his boots.
"Ah, God, it's a cold night.
Monty, you have to help me."
Stephen wrung the hat as if it were wet laundry.
"Philippe and his crew were my blasters for the journey north. Without them, I can't go."
"So?"
"So I should get all of their blasters as partial payment."
The sec chief of the Ville rubbed his chin, the only visibly large thing about the tiny man.
"Stephen, you're always bitching and whining. Constantly trying to get more than your fair share of everything, and I'm more than sick of your endless crap. If it wasn't for the local folks traveling north with you tomorrow, I'd toss you and the whole damn caravan into the quarry with the rest of the night's soil. I'm not shortchanging Cord because you chose Cold Hearts for protection."
"But without them, I'm out of biz."
"Tough."
"Damnation, where am I going to get more troops now? We have to leave at dawn if we're going to make Front Royal by end week."
The companions paused in their reloading.
"Where was that? Where are you going tomorrow?"
Monty pricked his ears at the reaction, but said nothing.
"Front Royal? Big Ville, 100+ miles north of here."
Stephen suddenly seemed to register the presence of the companions.
"Who are you folks? Friends of the deceased?"
"Oddly. These are the ones who chilled your top-notch crew."
The Ville sec men were already stripping the bodies of usable clothing and boots before rigor made the limbs too stiff to bend.
"And you're leaving tomorrow?"
Mildred sat on a bench, massaging her bandaged foot.
"At dawn. Not a tick later."
Stephen glowered, but said nothing. Ryan approached the caravan owner.
"We were planning on traveling north. Maybe we can cut a deal."
"Just the 7 of you? And 3 of those, a white hare, a kid, and a crip? I can't carry any more passengers. Besides, I need at least 12 blasters to make it through the Badlands."
Slamming down his mug, Monty laughed.
"Stephen, you're a total ass. These 7 chilled your 12 and gave them the first shot."
"Really? Well, then, maybe..."
The fat man scowled thoughtfully, a crafty expression forming on his plump face.
"So what would you charge for the trip? And remember, I already paid for Mercy's once already."
"Cheap bastard."
Cord muttered at the bar, pouring the contents of a broken bottle into an undamaged empty.
"No charge. Not even a slice of any goods found. We're not Mercy's. We go as passengers. Passengers, mind you. But if there's any trouble, we'll be more than willing to help defend the caravan."
"You turning down Jack?"
The fat man seemed scandalized at the very idea.
The man who sells his honor sells nothing he ever truly owned.
Stephen chewed that over for a minute, then extended an open hand.
Done, sir.